Can we please look at a portion of the psalm that was just read, verses 7 to 9 of Psalm 36? Obviously, these are the words of the psalmist speaking to God. So the you is God here. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast in the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Can we pray, please? Father, this is a sacred moment, and we realize how dependent we are upon your Spirit. And I pray, Holy Spirit, this morning, help me to preach well and clearly. And I pray that you help people to hear, Lord, not what I'm saying in words of men, but what you are saying through these words in your Spirit. For Christ's sake, we commit this sermon to you. Amen. Now, this morning, we continue our series on the attributes of God. Don't worry, we're almost finished them for those of you that are saying, oh, another one. God has millions of attributes, but we've only got about three more. Today, we are going to consider the attribute of God's goodness. The goodness of God. God is good. But if we are strict in that biblical definition, God alone is good. Now, what do we mean by this? How, in what way can we say that God is good? Well, first let me tell you what we do not mean by the goodness of God. And this is important. When we say God is good, we are not saying that God exists to make you happy. We're not saying that. You know, in this world, we call something good if it suits us, if it pleases us. If there's a certain song that I hear and it appeals to my taste, I will say, oh, that's a good song. Or if I go outside and there is weather that I enjoy, I will say, ah, it is good weather. If I meet someone on the street who appeals to me and my expectations, I will say, what a good man. But when we say God is a good God, we're not talking in that way. We need to make it clear. God is good whether you like it or not. God is good whether he appeals to you and gives you what you particularly want or not. We cannot measure the goodness of God by our own subjective experience. God is good in a way that differs from what we usually mean by the word goodness. Okay, then in what way is God good? What does the Bible mean when it talks about the goodness of God? Let me tell you, if you get what I'm going to tell you this morning, and I realize I can't get this through to you, only the Spirit can. But if you get what I'm going to say this morning, you will love God more than ever. You will be so amazed. What do I mean when I say that God is good? Well, let me give you a theological definition first. Do you like the Puritans? Well, I know it's like Marmite, but listen to this. 17th century Puritan, Stephen Charnock, in his book on the attributes of God, said this in about 1660. By goodness is meant the bounty of God. goodness is the most pleasant perfection of God's nature. God's creative power may amaze us. God's wisdom in providence may astonish us. But his goodness delights us. As God is great and powerful, he's the object of our fear and trembling. But as God is good, he's the object of our love and desire. Did that make sense to you? Well, our reading for today makes it even clearer than that. Look at verse 9. For with you, that is you, God, is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Now think about this. I think you will all know that rivers can be traced back to a source. You get that, don't you? All rivers go back to what we call a fount or a spring. Rivers begin at a fountain. Now, when we say the fountain of life, what are we saying? All life springs forth from God. Everything comes originally from God. He's the fountain of life. And then it goes on. In your light, we see light. In other words, there's a light that's behind all light. Do you know scientists admit they do not know what a photon actually is, a particle of light? The Bible says God is the light behind all light. He's the life behind all living things, the fountain of life, and he's the light in which light is seen. Now you may say, oh, that's just a bit too deep for me. I don't get that. I don't understand all that heavy stuff. So let me now try and make what I'm saying as clear and as practical as possible. I want you to do something for me this morning. I want you to think. Think of the most beautiful, the most amazing thing that you've ever seen or experienced. Can you do that? Maybe it's a memory of your wedding day. Maybe it's a childhood experience. Maybe it's a piece of music that you've heard and it's made your hair stand on end and tears come to your eyes. Maybe it's looking into the face of a newborn baby for the first time. Think of something amazing, standing on top of a mountain and looking at the glory. Have you got something in your mind? Well, if you're thinking of something good and beautiful and amazing, listen. What our text is telling us is this. The goodness of God is the glory behind that thing you experienced. He's the projector of that glory. He's the source and the sustainer of the wonder of what you felt at that moment. Listen again to the text, verse 9. For with you, God, is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Do you get it? Do you get what the Bible's trying to tell you? He's the glory behind the glory. He is good that makes all goodness possible. And all goodness is a mere reflection of his actual being, which is good in essence. All pleasure, all beauty, all happiness is sourced in God. He's the fountain of life, the light behind all light. Now, you may say, well, that's all very nice, that's all very well, and it's good for a poetry class to talk about this, but so what? What's this got to do with me? What practical use can I make of this statement from the Bible? Let me try and explain to you how vitally important this is. Long ago, before I was a Christian, I remember I had an amazing experience that I'll never forget. And there's no words that can express the experience. You're just going to try and listen hard. The year was 1980. I was in the army at the time in a place called Okavango. Don't need to know where it is. The middle of nowhere. In the African bush. And I was standing guard. Useless guard I am. But anyway, I was standing guard in the middle of nowhere. And I remember there were frogs and crickets croaking and chirping all around me. About 2 a.m. There was a warm wind blowing me and a smell of damp earth, vegetation. I can't describe it. And I looked up the sky. Listen, in England, you don't know what a sky looks like. You go to places in Africa and the sky's like powder sprinkled. And it was so beautiful. For a moment, I thought I was a tough guy. I wept. It brought me to tears, the beauty of that experience. I was overwhelmed with the magic of that experience. Well, it was an amazing experience. And I remember wanting that back, that feeling back. You know when you've experienced something you want it again? The next night, I volunteered with my buddy to stand guard in his place. I wanted that feeling again. I didn't feel it again. I went back a few times. I never got that magic feeling again. And I realized what I felt that night wasn't the sky, wasn't the wind, it wasn't the atmosphere. It was something behind it. Do you know what I'm trying to say? But I didn't know what it was. I just knew there was once in my life a time when I was blown away by the beauty of it all. And I longed for that feeling again. A couple of years later, I became a Christian. And I remember when the Holy Spirit came into my life. I felt that feeling again. A feeling of awe and wonder and unspeakable joy. And I realized that was what I felt that night. It was God I felt behind the wonder of nature. He was the life behind all living things, the fountain of life, the light in which we see light. And then this little verse made sense to me. Do you get it now? For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Now, why do I tell you that story? I'll tell you why, because I know you're not stupid. Just what I felt in Okavango in 1980, I know most of you have felt something similar. Maybe it wasn't nature that moved you. Maybe it was the first time you fell in love and you were overcome with this magic and beauty and wonder. Maybe it was a piece of music like Beethoven's 9th, that last part when it blows into the crescendo and you just want to cry. Maybe it was a beautiful view on a mountain. Maybe it was, you know, the look of someone you love that you haven't seen for a long time. But you all know there's something beautiful. You all know what I mean, that wow experience. Well, here's the problem. Many people see no further than the beautiful things in life. They fail to realize there is a beauty beyond the beautiful that makes all beauty possible. There's a light behind the light. And so many people run around chasing beautiful things. Art, romance, music, now don't get me wrong, please, art is beautiful, I love art, I love music, I'm a great music lover, romance is great, I've got, you know, I can't anymore, but romance is great, you all know romance is magic, but this is not what life is all about. And you get some people that sell their souls for beautiful things. Well, today we read that God is the reality behind the beauty and goodness of life. And to miss this truth is to doom yourself to a life of frustration. I mean, think for a moment. You all know the Shakespearean story Romeo and Juliet. Yes, they fell in love, and it was a beautiful love. It was magic. It stirred up their life. It gave them such zeal, but they could see no further than each other. And because they restricted the beauty to themselves, what happened in the end? They both croaked, didn't they? They both died. Think of Vincent van Gogh, the great painter. He gave his life to art. He poured his soul into painting beautiful pictures. I love Van Gogh. There's a glow and a wonder in his pictures. He captured color and light so amazingly. But he failed to see the light that's beyond the light. He couldn't see. I've read his biography and it's so sad. Where did his art lead him to? He eventually went mad and committed suicide. And his art is amazing. He did profound pictures. But you know what? And this is important. There's much more to life than painting pictures. No matter how beautiful, there is a light beyond the light. There's a fountain beyond the life. You see, many people live their lives chasing beautiful things, not knowing where the beautiful things come from. They're like chasing after gold at the end of the rainbow. You know that saying? Hey, no, I've got news for you. There's no gold at the end of no rainbow. You know why? Any scientists here? There is no end to the rainbow. It's an illusion. It's a mirage. Well, you may say, I'm not stupid. I know that. Maybe you think that you're going to find happiness if you meet the perfect lover. Or you live in the ideal neighborhood. Or you get the great promotion that you're dreaming about. And listen, all these things are good. But they're not the ultimate good that lies behind all things. And unless you meet the God of goodness, everything you think is good will eventually let you down. Do you know, love is amazing, but love without God eventually grows cold? News. Do you know that energy gets tired and runs down? Do you know that great achievements are forgotten? And this is why our world is filled with sad, bitter, frustrated people. They had their dreams, and their dreams were good dreams, and there were beautiful things they wanted. But chasing beautiful things without knowing the source of beauty, the light behind the light, the fountain behind the life, is to chase after pots of gold on the end of the rainbow. There's no end of the rainbow, guys. But here in our text, we're told where true, lasting happiness is found. Please listen to God now. Verse 7, these are God's words. Both high and low among men, find refuge in the shadow of your wings. Under the wings of God's beautiful gospel, you can find refuge. You can find what you're really looking for. It doesn't matter whether you're high or low. That's what it's saying. And then it goes on, even better, verse 8. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from the river of delights. There is a fountain to the wonderful life you're living. Trace your longing for life to the source. There is a light by which you are seeing all the lights of this world. Look beyond the light and see his glory. Do you get what this passage is saying today? It's describing the goodness of God. Well, let me close by trying to make what I'm saying as practical as possible for you. No one can accuse me, hopefully, today of just preaching airy-fairy stuff. All right. When I was a child, we had a stupid cat called Sullivan. We had two cats, Gilbert and Sullivan. But Sullivan was stupid. He used to chase shadows. I'm not joking. It was comical but sad. We'd move shadows with our hands across the wall, and the cat would chase the shadows. But he would run head first every time into the wall. Bang! He would chase, literally chase the shadows. And you know what kids are like. We thought it was so funny, and we were running our hands up and down the wall. My mother stopped us because the poor cat was hurting his head. He was hitting into the shadows time and time and... Stupid cat. But no more stupid than many of us. I was amazed about that cat because he never once looked back behind him at who was throwing the shadows. So again and again, he'd just run into the shadows and hit the wall. And yet I bet there's at least one or two people here today that are chasing beautiful things, and there's nothing wrong with the things you want, but you're not looking back at the one who's created the things, given you the things, sustaining them. Look beyond the life. Look back down the river to the fountain. See where all this living comes from. Look at the amazing light that glows behind the light that you love so much. Don't be like Sullivan. Don't bang your head against the wall chasing shadows. Because the most beautiful thing in this world is merely a shadow compared to the glory that is God. We read today that God is the fountain of life, and in God's light, light is seen. Do you get what the Bible's trying to tell you? If you want anything really good, and not just good for a few years and then gone, but permanently good, you've got to look to the source of goodness. God is good. Let's pray. In Jesus' name, Lord, we want to worship you. We think of all the good you've given us that we take so for granted. Lord, you've poured out goodness on us, families, loved ones, health, friends. Oh, Father, we think of our homes. We think of the food we eat. And, oh, God, we know that these things are beautiful, but compared to you, they are mere shadows. May we worship the God of all goodness this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing.